So I think we got one more story tonight, which is by my request, but I'm going to tell a mini story first, if that's okay to set it up. So I mentioned earlier I went to San Diego Comic-Con this week, and on Wednesday night, if you have a press pass or an all-weekend pass, you get to go to this thing called Preview Night, which is where they show you TV pilots that'll air in the fall before anyone else gets to see them. And one of the pilots they showed was Arrow, which was, it's based on the Green Arrow comic. It's super bad, guys, just FYI. But there's two things in the pilot, like, and you're in a room, by the way, with like, I don't know, 5,000 people watching these pilots, maybe? Maybe like half that, but a lot of people. So the plot of Arrow is that Ali Queen, our hero, is stranded on a deserted island for 5 years, and then he gets found and he comes back home and he's going to clean up his city. It's a whole lot like Batman Begins. But there's a part in there where he's talking to his best friend, and he's like, oh, what did I miss? And the guy's like, oh, here's the Super Bowl winners, and here's what music is cool, and there's this thing called Twilight, and he's like, oh, what's Twilight? And his friend's like, oh, it's better if you don't know. You better believe the whole room just fucking erupted into cheers. Now, this is at a convention where a woman literally died because she was so anxious to get in line for Twilight, the Twilight panel, that she ran into a train. And it killed her Tuesday. What? This literally happened.
What?
Yeah, okay. There's another part in the pilot where our hero straight up kills the guy in cold blood because he's partially responsible for Ollie's dad being killed. Again, room erupts into cheers. I don't understand why people want their heroes to kill. It drives me crazy. And I realize that nerds, more than maybe any other social group, are awful cynics, and Sean kind of touched on this, and it drives me insane, because I really do think cynicism will be what kills us. Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, I was going to write a full monologue, and I know someone else here was too, and we both, there's nothing we can say that Chris Geiger can't say better.
Whoa.
So this is Chris Geiger's monologue from The Skywalking Dead. He's telling it on my behalf, because this is everything I want to say. So Chris Geiger, everybody.
Well, after that wonderful opening, I'm going to fuck it up. So the end of the world is coming, right? You know, although, in my opinion, it's kind of been here for all of us multiple times in our lives, as Sawyer kind of touched on. Sanjay?
Yes.
Right. Sanjay touched on. It's been here multiple times in our lives, whether it was, you know, when you graduated high school or college or lost that job or, you know, got broken up with or broke up with somebody or moved to a new city. You've seen the end of the world, and then you dared to move past it. And despite all of that pain and heartache that we associate with, like, those small end-of-the-world moments, we really want the big one, don't we? We just really want that big one, despite what it implies. Because it kind of offers a little bit of a safe harbor from those smaller decisions. You know, we figure in this new world all of those decisions will be rendered useless and meaningless, and the only decision that we'll have to make is whether or not to keep living. We figure in this new world we won't have to worry about our bills or rent or, you know, tough jobs or tough friendships or old flames or material goods. No. All we'll have to worry about is keeping our wits about us, trusty dog by our side and a cricket bat in our hand, and our eyes firmly fixed on the open road ahead of us. We really want the big one, and we don't care how we get it, whether it's nuclear fallout, zombies, aliens, it doesn't matter. We just want it to end. And it's all so appealing. I get it. I so get it. But I'm going to be kind of honest, even though we have an end-of-the-world theme show and an end-of-the-world theme your stories, I fucking hate the end of the world as a trope. I hate it. Because it's a fantasy, which is fine. We're nerds. We love fantasies. But it's a fantasy propagated by fear. It's fear of the unknown, the complicated, the inconvenient. It's kind of like it's the same reason why white, old, stodgy congressmen hate gay marriage, for example. You know? It's because it's too unknown and too complicated and too inconvenient for them to understand. So what I like to see in my end-of-the-world stories, I see the silver lining. I enjoy, like, the Dawn of the Dead and stuff like that because of that silver lining of hope, right? That this time in this world we'll have a bit more agency, that we'll have a bit more of a chance to make a better future, and kind of take care of this fucked-up world that we already live in. And there's speaking of, like, the gay marriage thing, there's a mantra used by LGBT teens to kind of cope with this increasingly fucked-up world we live in. It just says, it gets better. That, you know, and even though that very firmly applies to them, it also applies to other smaller marginalized groups like us, the nerds, right? We've seen so many ends to so many worlds in our lives, whether it was high school or yesterday, it doesn't matter. But we're the type that doesn't give into that fear, right? We boldly go into those strange new worlds. We seek out that new life that understands us and those new places to call home. And, you know, I've moved around a lot in my life. I've lost a home to a hurricane, you know, and I've seen things that I've cared deeply for destroyed by two tornadoes and an earthquake. I've loved and I've lost, and I've lost friends and made new ones, just as I'm sure all of you have. And the binding force in all of that is that mantra that it gets better. That this time, even though the world is ending, it's actually a new, bright beginning to be blinded by. You know, like, we always see the end of the world as the dawn of the dead. But it's probably the end of our world is going to be closer to Star Trek. I mean, you and me, we're not Joe. We're not the hard-jawed, leather-clad survivors of that post-apocalypse. We're not the people that do that. We're at best the rebels of that long-forgotten city-state in post-World War III, standing in a field with James Cromwell as we look up into the stars as the Vulcans land for first contact, you know? And we have to believe that our vision, that our future will be brighter as long as we embrace that better ideal, that it gets better, and not give in to that vision of that dusty, orange, hazy horizon of a rubble-filled world. It gets better. Thanks.